Well, God bless you, people. I'm Bright. So I'm just here praising God for, the wonderful time I had up in Mount Lemmon. Saturday morning, when the preaching was coming forward, it came directly to me. And I had been dealing with a lot of fear, a broken heart, and just a lot of stuff that was going on in my mind, a lot of doubt. And it's amazing, God's grace when it comes forth. But I went up to the altar, Brother Diggs, he asked who wanted the Holy Spirit, and I went up, and I just raised my hands, and I said, Lord, I can't do it no more. I give it all to you. And he just came and filled my heart with a peace, a joy. And I'm just here. And he put a song in my heart to sing, and the song is When God Ran, and I just kind of want, he just put it on my heart to kind of talk a little bit about the song. And many of you guys know it, it's about the prodigal son, where he goes away from his father, and he squanders everything, and he doesn't have nothing. He has very little, just like Brother Diggs was saying, He comes back, back in the olden days, for him to come back, they would stone him because it was a sin. But yet, the Bible says, even when he was afar off, his father ran to him. He took him in his arms. And because of that, they couldn't stone him. The people there, because they would have to stone the father, and they can't do that. They can't do nothing. And, that's how it is. And then after that, the father took him into the home. And they were just fellowshipping with one another. And I believe that's what it is. God, once we surrender, Brother Diggs was saying again, God's the one when something comes, God's the one at the door. He's the one that's protecting you. And so I just want to sing the song and maybe a blessing to you guys. Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, a mighty conqueror, and the only time, I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart, and I wondered then if things could ever be the same. And then one night I remembered God's love for me, and down that dusty road ahead I could see. It was the only time, I ever saw him run
was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest. He said, my son's come home again. Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? He caught me by surprise when God ran. He ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again. Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? He caught me by surprise when God ran. He caught me by surprise when God ran to me.
Amen. Let's just stand together this evening. And Brother Diggs is going to be ministering for us tonight, and take advantage of the gift that God sent to the young kids and young adults over the weekend, and just thankful for the opportunity to come get our cups filled tonight. And so just sing the next song here and have the deacons come up. If you need to get out your checkbook, we'll give you time to do that before they take up the offering. But just appreciate Brother Diggs. I know he's tired. You go to the youth camps, you come back tired from them, but just thank him for sacrificing his gift for us tonight. So, amen. It's beginning to rain, 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 hear the voice of the Father. He's saying, whosoever will, come drink of this water. It's beginning to rain, 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 hear the voice of the Father. He's saying, whosoever will, come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out. And I look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain. Yes, it's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He's saying, whosoever will, come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. One more time. Yes, it's beginning to rain. Rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He's saying, whosoever will, come drink of this water. To pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. Amen. Well, we have a few sisters that are here tonight from the Philippines. I'd like to ask them if they could come and sing a special for us. It's Sister Princess Jubilee and Bethel. So a chance to hear them sing the other night, and appreciate them coming and blessing us with song this evening.
Good day, saints. We're so blessed to be here. And first, we just want to send our greetings from our church in Philippines and my parents, my dad. He's been here this February, I guess. So we had a really good times here since we got in the States. We had a lot of blessings, and I can't count each of them. And since we're here and we went to Susan Camp, it's really a tremendous blessing for us. Like, we had two camps already, ELF and BYC, and this last camp. And as a volunteer counselor, I prayed to God to lead me as a counselor, you know, like, I want to be used by God to do something for the young girls. And the first night we talk about, I told them that we have goals for this camp, and we share those goals. And then every preaching, it answers the goals that we have. It's like most of us like talk about the supernatural, like we want to happen supernatural in our life, and it really happened. And Brother Kaido did talk about you have to make a step and have the courage to testify, and we're here standing, testify of God's grace, God's gift, and we want to offer a song to Him.
This day, no man could tell us just where we came from and where we go from here. Oh, but through the eyes of the prophet, God revealed to us before God was God, all the way to future hope. New things are being declared. Very soon, I'll be raptured out of here. Angel of God is here, leading our souls into the invisible, the inaudible, the inconceivable. Faith to believe for the impossible. Oh, in this new day, the angel of God, not seen for 2,000 years. He's fixing things for us to leave. He's waving visions of ourselves before us, so we can walk step by step into what we behold. New things have been declared. I know very soon I'll be raptured out of here. Faith to believe for the impossible. Oh, in this new day,
eyes have not seen nor ears heard the things that God has prepared for those whom He loves. Oh, but in this day, God displayed. If you nothing shall be impossible unto you. New things have been declared. I know very soon
I'll be raptured out of here. Angel of God is here, leading our souls into the invisible,
the inaudible,
the inconceivable.
God be the glory.
Amen. Let's stand together this evening. Amen. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do, let's just sing that as our pastor comes this evening. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. How I thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. How I thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. How I thank you for loving and setting me free. I thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you. Grateful.
How I thank you. Time. How I thank you, thank you, oh Lord. Let's give him thanks tonight. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back with you again here tonight. And we thank you for trusting your young people under our care this weekend, and we'll set aside a little bit of time on Wednesday night for those that care to testify what took place. But your children and the young adults would have made you proud. They were a real testimony, and the Lord surely met us and was with us, and only eternity will show all that was accomplished, but just what we saw that was accomplished is tremendous. It was more than worth it. Amen. And we'll, like I said, we'll give an opportunity for the young people to share their. I was blessed. You know, got my feet washed too. So just I also want to thank all of you that had a part. It's so wonderful to, you know, the Lord gives us a vision and a direction to move in, and then people just come together and just volunteer and step up and do what needs to be done, and God's mindful of that. And you know, this is a body movement. There's no one of us that can do all of this or even part of it. It takes a body, and every part of the body has something to contribute. And it was like a well-oiled machine. It was our first youth camp here in Tucson, but you wouldn't have known it. It just, because it went so well, and everybody just putting their shoulder behind the wheel. So I thank you so much for those of you that had a part in it. And I also know that those that had a part in it had an opportunity to draw closer together with others. So there's just so many benefits to it. So we thank the Lord for that. And we are so blessed. I told Brother Kydre that I was, you know, I felt bad taking advantage of him like this. And we were supposed to have three preachers, and one brother canceled out the morning of the camp. And so that left us with two. So that meant that between the two that they had to take on an extra service. And then, oh, by the way, we've still got a Sunday night service. And the rest of you haven't been blessed by our brother's ministry this weekend. So I told our brother Kaidre that I felt bad taking advantage of him, but I'll get over it. We love our brother, and we're just so thankful that God sent him our way. And I believe he's a real man of God, a real servant of God. He's got a servant's heart and a real gift of God. And I invite you to pull in the gift again tonight as you have in the past. And young people, I know that you can say amen now. I saw you do it. So we intentionally tried to be as quiet as we could. It was hard. You know, there were just times that we said, you know, I just got to amen the word. And especially when it got gooder and gooder. But we wanted the young people to own the service. Well, they took control and owned their service and pulled on the gift of God. So now they know how it works too. So let's have church tonight. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. There was a song that I was, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. As our brother, we'll turn the service over to our brother, and whatever's on his heart, however the Lord directs him, that's what we want tonight. Amen. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. How many can say, I need you, Lord? I need you. Yes, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. So we lift our hands and we bow our knees and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. And again, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Yes, Lord. So we lift our heads and we bow our knees and worship at your throne.
Right now, I need you, Lord. Can we say, Lord, you're so mindful of who we are and our needs. And Lord, even as I had that song on my heart, Lord, you anointed the pastor to sing that song. Father, we know that you're here among us. And Lord, we need a move of God in our homes, in our family life, in our marriages, in our children's, in our church. We need a move of God. Lord, and we won't be satisfied unless you move, Lord. So, Lord, let all flesh get out of the way tonight, Lord. Lord, that we practice the greatest gift given unto men, and that's moving out of your way, Lord. Lord, we give you total preeminence. And Lord, you've been so good, Lord. If we would ask the question, what more can you do? Lord, you've already done it all. But Lord, place acceptance in our heart that we can accept what you've done in our lives, Lord. And Lord, let that materialize in our lives, Lord. Lord, don't let it just be a letter. Don't let it just be a book or a tape, but let it be material in our lives, Lord. Lord, that we could see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, that we could see you manifest in our lives. And Lord, we deem it a privilege to be with saints of like precious faith. And Lord, we know that there's nothing good about us but the Holy Ghost. So Lord, we ask that you, the preacher himself, would come and minister to his creation. Lord, we'll give you all thanks and everything. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let the church say amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. You know, I love coming to church. Hallelujah. I thank God, amen, that I have enough strength to come to church. And that's not a battle for me. I'm coming to church. Amen. I want to be in the midst of the word. Hallelujah. Y'all know it's different being in church than when you're watching it on stream. Hallelujah. Amen. I like a live ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. So we certainly appreciate the pastor. Amen. Brother Baker. Amen. A wonderful brother in the Lord. We certainly appreciate his spirit and him and his family, his wife, and his church family. Amen. You know, but we most of all, we appreciate the Lord backing us. Amen. So let's go into the word. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 24:25. The 25th chapter. I just want to start at verse 1. Amen. If you have it, say amen. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. When all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Man, let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can have your seats tonight. Amen. Man, by the grace of God, I want to preach on a subject tonight I believe is very timely to the bride of Christ. You know, and my subject tonight is she is made ready. Hallelujah. She is made ready. You know, church, whether we believe it or not, we are in the most glorious time ever for a believer. Because the Lamb, hallelujah, is about to come get his bride back because she will be ready to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. And you know, there's a lot of things going on, church. There's a lot of things that we can see in the atmosphere. There's a lot of people leaving the truth. But at the same time, there's a lot of people coming to the truth. So, you know, for those of us who've been here for so long, you got to ask the question, am I ready? Hallelujah. You know, we're not in a time, we're not in a place where you should be saying, I'm trying to get ready. You should be ready. Hallelujah. Because we have so much prophecy. We have so many things that have already been fulfilled. Church, we should be ready to put the garment on, walk down the aisle, and say, I do. Hallelujah. That's the season we're in. That's the time we're in. And you know, church, the enemy, he's getting more bold and bold. So you know what? We should do the same. We should tell the devil, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't turning back. I won't stop. I won't quit. I'm ready to get married. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm no longer calling myself bride, but I am a wife. Hallelujah. A bride is someone that's preparing and she's getting all the stuff together, but a wife has already been in the bedchamber. Hallelujah. She's been in a place, hallelujah, where she can receive seed. But you know, church, hallelujah, when we read the scripture, you know, there were five wise and there were five foolish. And what I want you to realize is that the Bible says that they all slumbered. They all slumbered. Not only the foolish, but the wise slumbered too. And it's sad. It's a sad day to see that with all this word we got people dragging the church. Hallelujah. We got people crying about this and crying about that. And when it's time to support things in the church, we turn into crybabies. That's the spirit of slumber. Church, we should be in action. When things go forward, Brother Doug shouldn't have to hunt and search for somebody. You should be available. Hallelujah. Because his wife has made herself ready. She's made herself ready. Hallelujah. How is she becoming ready? By the word she's hearing. Hallelujah. If you haven't understand, hallelujah, the cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. We know that that's the shout. Hallelujah. And the shout is the message of the hour. Hallelujah. Now this message is supposed to be making you ready. It's not supposed to make you sick. It's supposed to make you ready. Hallelujah. It's not supposed to make you feel bound. It's supposed to make you free. Hallelujah. But there's too many people that we perceive to be bridal or wise virgins, which are foolish. And now they're making statements. Since I've left the message, I'm so free. Hallelujah. You know, that's a true statement. You know why they're free? Because they don't have to be hypocrites anymore. They can live the life that they want to live. They can go back to their slop. They can go back to the sinful natures that they've been covering all that time. Hallelujah. So yeah, they're free. Hallelujah. But they're free to sin. They're not free to live for God. Amen. How could something that came from the mind of God ever put you in bondage? Hallelujah. Why does God send a prophet to get the people ready to receive him? Hallelujah. And without you, there'd be no prophet. So you're just as important as that prophet. And you know, when Brother Branham talked about the widow woman, hallelujah, he said, it's so comical. Well, not comical, but God does things that we can't understand. Hallelujah. Even like our trials, you know, we could be, you know, in the midst of serving the Lord and doing all we can do. Then all of a sudden your life is turned upside down. And you're like, Lord, what's going on? Why me? Maybe God is testing your faith. Maybe God is trying to see if you're going to stand. Maybe God is going to see if you're really one of his or not. Hallelujah. And what do you do when you go through a trial? Do you complain or do you say, the Lord God giveth and the Lord God taketh away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the place we got to get to. We got to learn how to give God praise in the midst of a trial. Because you know when that lady is preparing, hallelujah, for her wedding day or her wedding night, everything doesn't go right all the time. Come on, sisters, talk to me. Hallelujah. Amen. And some of the most aggravating people are the people that you chose to be in the wedding. Hallelujah. The dress too short. Hallelujah. The hem too long. Whatever you call the jacket, I can't think of the name of it. But it don't fit right. And those who are a part of the wedding complain more and more than the groom. Hallelujah. And you know, the groomsmen, hallelujah, they don't want to get their hair cut a certain way. They don't want to look a certain way. But you got to realize, hallelujah, you are in somebody else's wedding. Woo, hallelujah. And the best thing for you to do is be glad that you're a part of it, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Be glad that you are a part of it. Rejoice, hallelujah, the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Church, God chose you to be a part of the wedding. You're not a standby. You're the one that's going to walk down. And I don't know about you, hallelujah, but when we walk down, I'm the bride, hallelujah. I'm the one that's supposed to get married. And you know who's going to walk me down? Malachi 4. Malachi 4 is the best man, hallelujah. And he's going to walk me down, hallelujah. He's going to walk me down with the words of eternal life. This word is making us ready, church. Hallelujah. This word, me and Brother Doug was talking about it. This word, hallelujah, even just the titles and so forth, is not just good titles, but it's events taking place in the believer's life. You are God's provided place of worship. Hallelujah. But you know, there were five wise and five foolish. What made them foolish? They took a journey with no Holy Ghost. Or should I say, not enough Holy Ghost. Because they had it on their flesh, maybe. They were good enough to come to church, hallelujah. On their flesh. They were good enough to come to church, but they couldn't come here and enter in. What good are you to us if you can't enter in? You're just a spectator. You're just a bump on the log. You're just a critic. If you can't enter in, what good are you to us? You're just dead weight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit bears witness of the Spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. And if you can't enter in while the word is being preached, that means you're not a part of it. Hallelujah. Maybe you're just foolish to think that you're going to get by without receiving the word. See, when you receive the word, you become what's being preached to you. Hallelujah. And what's being preached to us is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as you receive the word, you become Christ himself. Hallelujah. Christ becomes your dwelling place. He takes his abode in you. Hallelujah. She is being made ready. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. But we see so many people with that spirit of foolishness on them. Hallelujah. They want to make it all about a prophet. Oh, yeah, y'all know I don't care about going there. I go there. I will go there. Hallelujah. Because we've done that too long. We've made it all about a prophet. When a prophet made it all about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So just like Paul said, who was a prophet. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if the prophets before him had that attitude, don't you think our prophet had the same attitude? He was not trying to bring anybody to himself, but his job was to bring us to Isaac. Hallelujah. And then you have these foolish virgins who wants to make it all about, hallelujah, Eliezer. When Eliezer himself, whatever he had, came from Abraham. He didn't even have his own commission. It came from Abraham. And Abraham is a type of God the Father. And so was it with our prophet. His commission was to go get a wife for Isaac. Hallelujah. And even the gifts that Eliezer had came from Abraham. Hallelujah. His gifts didn't even belong to him. What he gave Rebecca, hallelujah, it belonged, hallelujah, to Abraham. Woo. Or should I say Isaac? Because whatever Abraham owned, Isaac was an heir to it. And if an heir, a joint heir. Hallelujah. That means that he could sign the check. You know, when you get married, sisters, and your name is on the check, your husband can be out of town and you can still make a withdrawal. With with the right kind of character. Hallelujah. Don't go back and start saying, Brother Deeks, I can get money whenever I feel like it. No, with the right character, hallelujah. He's only going to put that kind of power in your hand, hallelujah, when you have the right kind of character. Amen. A woman that's going to take care of her kids. Amen. Take care of the home. Make sure everything she's supposed to do is right. Then she'll go out and splurge. Hallelujah. Because there's nothing lacking. Hallelujah. But you know, church, I want to tell you a testimony. These spirits today, they're to a place where they're no longer hiding. Everybody wants to be identified. Everybody wants to let you know who they are. The gays are letting you know I'm gay. And I'm proud of it. Hallelujah. And they're starting to fight with you. And all we're doing is minding our business. All we're doing is loving Jesus Christ. And they mad at us because we're straight. Because God sent Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. Hallelujah. And they bring the fight to us. And you know, church, you got to get to a place to where you know who you are. Amen. You know who you are. We're in the day of identification. Hallelujah. We're in a time where you have to be identified with your sacrifice. Remember the Shunammite. Hallelujah. Remember the woman in Memphis, Tennessee. Why did God answer her prayer? Because she knew she was a part of the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When she went down in prayer, she said, Lord, Isaac can't let my boy die like this. She said, Lord, eyes just like that Shunammite. And if I'm this part of the word, which is the Shunammite, hallelujah. Now you hear me, church? Hallelujah. She knew she was. She was ready for the word to materialize. She was ready to take the walk down the aisle because she knew that it was her time. Hallelujah. And she said, eyes just like that Shunammite woman. Now, where's my Elijah? Woo! Where's my Elijah? Hallelujah. See, if you know that you're a certain part of the word, the rest of the word has to follow you. Hallelujah. And if you, hallelujah, are Revelations 8 through 11, you must prophesy again. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about Revelation 10:7. That's been fulfilled. Now it's time for me to do my part. Let's prophesy again. Prophesy what? What was already spoken. Bring Christ on the scene again in your life. Hallelujah. You say, you know, it's all going to come out. It's going to come. They're going to call us cults. They're going to call us parrots. But I got a problem with that one. Don't call me no parrot. I'm an eagle. And I'll eat a parrot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I take him someplace he can't even go. Hallelujah. Y'all know how strong an eagle is. Hallelujah. An eagle. Hallelujah. In his claws. You know when an eagle goes after its prey, it can fly over 150 miles per hour. That means when it comes past your window, it's like this. Hallelujah. And one thing else about an eagle. That's why I say, what good is your coming if you're not going to enter in? An eagle never eats. Now, I'm not talking about the bald eagle. He's a scavenger. Oh, did you not know that one? No, I'm talking about the African crowned eagle. Hallelujah. Which is the strongest eagle. Hallelujah. And one thing about this eagle, hallelujah, he never eats anything still or dead. He catches his food while it's moving. Hallelujah. He'll catch it out the air. He'll snatch it out the tree. Hallelujah. But it has to be moving. It has to have some kind of life in it. And if you're an eagle in Jesus Christ, you can catch this word I'm preaching while it's moving. Hallelujah. We're not living off of dead letter. The word is alive. The word is a person. And we have the ability to catch Jesus Christ while he's on the move. God is not standing still, church. He's on the move. He's preparing a palace. He's preparing a mansion. He's on the move. God is in a building project. You got to be able to catch him while he's on the move. If you're sitting still, he's going to walk right past you. Because remember, that was always his way. He was never sitting still. When Jesus was recruiting, he said, come follow me. Hallelujah. But we're looking for a gospel where we can be lazy. No. This word is alive. This word is doing something in our lives. I don't know about y'all, but when I read scriptures, when Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. Amen. That does something to me. Amen. This man saw miracle after miracle. This man had the power of creation in his mouth. Creating frogs, lice, fire coming down, turning water into blood. Hallelujah. Then he gets to a place where he says, Lord, show me your glory. What was God doing all that time? But you know, I began to pray about that. And the Lord began to show me. Up until that time, everything Moses did was for somebody else. Ooh. Everything he did was for the children of Israel. For Aaron, Miriam, all his loved ones, Joshua, everybody. He was doing everything for everybody else. But now Moses gets to a place where he says, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Church, I don't know about you, but I'm in that place. Hallelujah. I'm in that place. And I'm like, Lord, show me the glory of this message. Hallelujah. Show me the glory of the quotes. Lord, if I read something in question and answers and believe it, I want to see it manifest in my life. Lord, you said the Holy Ghost is unto me and my children. Lord, manifest your glory. Show me your glory. I want my children to get the Holy Ghost. You young people, the Bible says, live happy with the wife of your youth. You shouldn't be struggling. The Bible says, be happy. Hallelujah. Lord, manifest this word in my life. Hallelujah. I don't want it to be just good cliches. Well, you know, Brother Branham said. Well, you know, Brother Branham said. That's doing me no good. I need it to be manifest. Hallelujah. Either you believe it or you don't. Hallelujah. Unless it's manifest in your life, it's no more than just a good quote. Yeah. Hey, he knew what I was before he invited me. Hallelujah. I don't have time to play games with religious spirits. See, one thing I appreciate about Brother Branham, he always made it about Christ. Church, he could have had the biggest church in the world if he wanted to. Hallelujah. But he shied away from it. Look at it, church. Look at his character. Tearing up million-dollar checks. Not once, but twice. Hallelujah. Church, the very things that are going on in his name today were the very things he shied away from. He wasn't looking for any credit. He wasn't looking for any popularity. He wasn't even looking for followers.
So why would you come along and try to make me follow him when he never did it? Don't be afraid to speak the truth. Hallelujah. Because the truth makes you free. You notice I didn't say set? We've been saying that. That's wrong. It makes you free. Hallelujah. You know when something makes you? It does it against your own will. And this word in your life will make you free whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. When you get discouraged, this message has freedom on it. Hallelujah. When you get sad, this message has joy on it. It has healing on it. Has peace on it. Salvation on it. Deliverance on it. Whether you like it or not. And if you eat this word, it's going to manifest in your life. Church, we're in a day where all the prophecies are being fulfilled. Let's run it down a little bit. Let's just start in the middle. You know, we remember all the prophecies about Mussolini and all the things about Germany and all the stuff. It's fulfilled. Egg-shaped cars, fulfilled. Hallelujah. Women having rights, fulfilled. Amen. On and on and on, fulfilled. So what makes us think the rest of it ain't going to be fulfilled? We're on the brink of it right now. You know, I might make some of y'all mad, but we got one of the funniest presidents we ever had. Notice I didn't say smart. One of the funniest presidents we've ever had. You've been very mean to me. If you talk about me, I'm going to get on Twitter and let you know how I feel. Let me say like I've been saying in the youth camps. Stupid. But he's the kind of person, hallelujah, that God will allow to get there. Don't get it twisted. Amen. We had nothing to do with it. Your elections had nothing to do with it. It's all God's choosing. Amen. Hallelujah. And it blows me away when people get upset. Oh, we thought Hillary was going to win. Oh, she should have won. Oh, it's supposed to be a woman. It's still a woman in Catholic Church. Hallelujah. A beautiful woman. If that one don't clear it up. You might say, well, back in the day, she was this and she was that. We ain't dealing with the past. We're dealing with the future. We're dealing with the now. Hallelujah. When was the last time you ever seen an ugly Catholic church? Beautiful. So you know what we should be doing? We should make sure we got the right shoes. Hallelujah. We got the right garment. Amen. See, one thing about that sister, when she's getting her garment together, her garment, hallelujah, is not just for her. Her garment is for the audience. Hallelujah. She wants everybody to see her when she come down the aisle. It's all about the walk and the garment. Hallelujah. You know, the music is playing. She's not going to go down the aisle like this. No, that's too fast. She's on display. Hallelujah. And her father is walking her down. Hallelujah. And the music is playing. Hallelujah. And the dress is just dressed like boom, boom, pow. And the first thing you notice is the dress. And you're like, man, look at that dress. That dress is nice. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, your dress is so nice. Hallelujah. That nobody will be able to take their eyes off you. And you're dressed with the word of God. Hallelujah. We have his needlework. Hallelujah. We're dressed with the unfailing promises of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Pay attention, church. Hallelujah. We have a dress that can't rip, can't tear, can't get old. Hallelujah. Don't need to be washed. Hallelujah. This dress is indestructible. Hallelujah. And 5 years later, I'll still be able to wear it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It don't get old. But it fits me for eternity. Hallelujah. And she has made herself ready. Hallelujah. See, church, I don't get mad when I see the gays doing this. I be like, praise God. Because it's prophecy being fulfilled.
You know, they got more rights than we got now. Hallelujah. But you know, that's the way God wants it. That's the way God constructed. Hallelujah. That's the way it's moving to get you ready. You know, they asked the prophet, they asked him, hey, if you could live in any age, which would you be? Say this one. You know why? Because the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ is in this day. Hallelujah. It's in this time. It's in this day. Church, we're in a time where we spiritually aren't lacking anything. And if you feel you're lacking something, what you're lacking is effort. Hallelujah. Because everything has been made accessible. Hallelujah. Remember when God dealt with Abraham and Abraham was willing to kill his own son? God said, Abraham, now I know you fear me and I won't hide nothing from you. See, God has revealed everything to us, church. And there's no excuse for you not to be ready. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no excuse for you to say, I don't know if I'm ready for the rapture. You should know that. You should know where you are spiritually. Hallelujah. You should make yourself ready to meet him. Hallelujah. There's going to be a body change. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or not. Amen. But you know, it's we're in a fight. I was in New Zealand, and I was sitting at the table. I was at a family camp, a youth camp, family camp. And you know, a sister came in. I was sitting down, and the sister came in and she started to ask me questions about my testimony. She said, "Brother Deeds, can I ask you something about your testimony?" I said, "Which one?" When God been good to you, you can talk all day. Church, even right now, as I think about what I go through, I say, Lord, you've been too good. You've been too good for me to doubt. It has to work out for my good. Lord, you've been too good for the devil to get the best of me. You've been too good for my children, my wife to be lost. You've been too good. You've been too good for me to worry where the money coming from. You've been too good. You've been too good for me to doubt. And sometimes we get in the flesh and we start wondering why. Hallelujah. Be careful. You're going to get in a moping stage. You say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Hallelujah. But you know, she began to ask me about my testimony. I said, well, when this happened and that happened and this and this. And I was answering a question. She was confused. You know why she was confused? Because it's my testimony, not hers. Hallelujah. So I said, what's the problem? She said, well, there's somebody out there who don't believe your testimony. You talking to me? You want to run that by me again? She said, yeah, there's somebody out there who don't believe that you was healed from cancer. I said, me? She said, yeah, they don't believe your testimony. I said, where they at? You ain't gonna tell me what God did in my life wasn't real. And if you question me, I'll bring my God on the scene. Hallelujah. God loves to be exalted. God loves to be put on the forefront. God loves to be put on a pedestal. Don't you back down from these demons. Call your God on the scene. Hallelujah. They try to say this message ain't real. You prove it by your life. Don't back down. This ain't a time to back down. This is a time to show that your God is living. Where is he? He's in you. Hallelujah. We're backing down. Call me cult. Call me rope. Call me whatever. But I know I'm called in heaven. This is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I get out there. And there's a young man sitting at the table. I say, hey, man, how you doing? All right. Yeah, introduce myself. You know, I ain't one for games. Hallelujah. So it wasn't no time for small talk. Hallelujah. So I sat down at the table, Brother Joseph, and I said, hey, well, you don't believe my testimony, huh? I was all in his face. You don't believe my testimony? Huh? Why you don't believe my testimony? What's the problem? Don't y'all back down from these ladder to seeing demons. If you got the Holy Ghost, that's Jesus Christ inside of you. And whenever them demons saw Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped.
Hallelujah! A legion of demons that was used to tormenting people when they saw Jesus in a body of 150 pounds, they fell down and worshiped! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's if you got the Holy Ghost now. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, keep walking. Hallelujah. Because the devil make a fool of you. Hallelujah. So I say, hey, you don't believe my testimony, huh? He says, no. Very polite. No. You know they have like the British accent too. No. I say, why? I ain't gonna just let it fly over. You tell me you don't believe it, you gotta give me a reason. He says, why? He says, well, I'll have to see the paperwork. The paperwork or what? I see the paperwork when you had it, and they operated, and it came back, and then it disappeared. I say, that's the paperwork you want? He said, yeah, yes, I have to see that paperwork. I say, okay. Remember, she is made ready. Hallelujah. I say, young man, you see the scar right here? This is not me losing my hair. This is where they put a shunt inside of me to help my blood circulate. I say, you see this horseshoe right here? This is where I had 27 staplers when they did the first operation to get the cancer out. I say, you see this cut right here? This is where they did the last biopsy, hallelujah, that they tested to show that the cancer was spreading. Son, I don't need no paperwork. I am the paperwork. Hallelujah. I don't need a book and a tape. I am the books and the tapes. Hallelujah. Church, the prophet of God say it's going to come a day when you can't use your Bible. You're going to have to be the Bible. You're going to have to be the paperwork. I want some paperwork for some doctors. I am the paperwork. I am the manifestation of Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. I am the manifestation of Jehovah Shammah. He's an ever-present rock. That's some paperwork. Hallelujah. For all these foolish virgins, to my dimensions ain't real. Look at me. Look at what God did in my life. I ain't what I used to be. I don't go where I used to go. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't desire what I used to desire. Hallelujah. Why? Because the word has become flesh. She is made ready. Hallelujah. So he says, well, I'm not telling you that you can't believe. I know you ain't. I know you ain't telling me I can't believe. I said, well, what's your problem in believing God? I just don't believe that there's just one being controlling everything. You know the problem is? In the message of the hour, we have too many Charlie Browns walking around. Big old heads full up with knowledge and no life. What good are you knowing all the prophet said and can't live it? Hallelujah. Amen. So he was saying that he don't believe that there's a God. I said, what? You don't believe? You believe in a God? You what? I said, well, where we come from? We come from monkeys. I said, you want to run that by me again? I said, we come from monkeys. I said, boy, you don't know no better than to look a black man in his face and tell him he come from a monkey. You don't know no better than that, boy. Don't you know how long we've been fighting to disprove that one? I don't even need no science to tell you that one a lie. Hallelujah. I don't come from no monkey. I come from the mind of God. I come from the gene of God. I come from Elohim, the self-existing one. I come from the revelation that was before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So I asked him, I said, monkeys? He said, yes, monkeys. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do dogs still produce dogs? He says, yes. I said, lions produce lions? He says, yes. I said, cats produce cats? I said, he says, yes. I said, well, how come no monkeys ain't making humans no more? If everything else is moving in continuity like it does, why ain't monkeys, hallelujah, dropping their tails off and in school or driving cars anymore? Or preaching behind the pulpit? Hallelujah. And he says, well, because we've evolved. I say, yeah, we've evolved from a baby to a man or a woman. Hallelujah. We didn't evolve from a different species. Hallelujah. We're not aliens. Hallelujah. So we talked a little bit more. And he says, you know, well, everything has to be proven. I say, oh, yeah. Everything has to be proven. I say, well, how did the world get here? He says, well, it was a big bang. I said, what? A big bang? He said, yes, it was a big bang. I said, well, what? How do you know that it was a big bang? He said, well, 5 billion years. I said, oh. 5 billion years ago. He said, yes, 5 billion years ago. I said, hey, was you there? Was you there 5 billion years ago? He says, no. Well, I say, well, how do you know it's true? You say everything has to be proven. Hallelujah. And if you wasn't there, how you know it's true? I said, everything I just told you, I was there. I was there when they cut on me. I was there when they put this in me. I was there when God healed me. I was there when he was on the cross. I was there when he went in hell. I was there when he rose again. And I'll be there when he comes to get back a bride. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you what I've heard. I'm telling you what I experienced. Hallelujah. Well, now I told him, I say, I'm not telling you what Jesus said or what Paul said. I'm telling you what happened in my life. She is made ready. Hallelujah. You know, that's why we can't live off Brother Branham's testimony. You got to have your own. Amen. Remember Billy Paul got sick? He's about to die. He kept saying, somebody get my dad. Somebody get my dad. Somebody get my dad. Somebody get my dad. And Brother Branham finally get there. He said, Dad, pray for me. He said, no, you did the sin and you pray for yourself. Hallelujah. You got to get ready. Hallelujah. So he says, it's a big bang. And 5 billion years ago, I said, 5 billion, you wasn't there. He says, no, but scientists, I say, if you wasn't there, how do you know it's true? Because the book said, I say, stop. If you wasn't there, how do you know it's true? I say, I was there. The resurrection is inside me right now. Hallelujah. I was there. Thus said the Lord is living inside of me right now. Hallelujah. The healing elements of the word is living in me right now. Hallelujah. I was there. Woo! Church, do we really realize what took place when Jesus died on the cross? Hallelujah. Church, when he died on the cross, he gave up, hallelujah, this prestige on earth, hallelujah. But when he went down, hallelujah, when he was awakened in heaven, he awoke with the same power. Amen. Remember, he was a God man, hallelujah. But when he awoke down in hell, he still was a God. He still had that God authority. And can you imagine he wake up around a garrison of demons down in hell, hallelujah. But because he knew who he was, amen. See, that's what it's all about. The revelation is knowing who you are. That's what makes the devil powerless. When you know who you are, that makes him powerless. In Jesus, hallelujah. He awakes, hallelujah, in hell, hallelujah, with the same power he had on earth. And there's a garrison of demons. Hallelujah. But he know he got to get to the chief. Hallelujah. So he's made himself ready to meet him. Hallelujah. Satan don't even know who came down in his house. Hallelujah. He's probably in the back some way playing his Xbox or watching Netflix. Hallelujah. When the word had came down in his house, he didn't even realize it was there. And now, church, I want you to understand that when you receive Jesus Christ in your life, he's made you ready for every challenge. Anybody going through something? Anybody going through something? Well, let me say it again. Hallelujah. When Jesus died on the cross and you receive him, hallelujah, in your heart, he's made you ready for every battle to come. Hallelujah. And now, church, he wakes up in a garrison of demons. Hallelujah. And Jesus began to take a step. And maybe high blood pressure stood up. He said, sit down. The master is here. Then he saw, hallelujah, drugs and alcohol. He stood up. He said, sit down. The master is here. He's controlling everything. Maybe cancer. Maybe diabetes. Stood up. He said, sit down. This is my house right now. He had all power over hell, death, and the grave. And he has the same power tonight in you to tell whatever's bothering you, Satan, back up. Because the master has come. Hallelujah. Let's go to Calvary. Church, we suffer too long in our miseries. It's time for us to speak the word. You hear preachers say it all the time. I'm preaching to myself. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to myself, church. Hallelujah. I'm in a stage of desperation. God, I got to see you move. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, you're so real to me, but I need your realness to be present. Hallelujah. Lord, I need to see you move in my life. Lord, I need to see your greatness. I need to see your omnipotent power. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will put us in situations where we have to cry out. And boy, the worst thing you can do is make that bride cry on her wedding day. You didn't mess up something. You didn't tore up a dress. You didn't mess up the cake decoration. You didn't did something and she started crying. Everybody just messing up my wedding. But when she get over it, she gonna turn into Bridezilla. And she gonna come out there with no regard for nobody's feeling. This is my day. You're not gonna mess up my day. If you don't wanna be a part of it, you can hit the door. If you don't wanna wear the dress, you can hit the door. If you don't wanna walk the aisle, you can hit the door. If you don't wanna wear the shoes to walk down this highway, you can hit the door. The ministry is not in a time where we're babysitting people anymore. If you don't want God, you can hit the door. Don't you make that woman cry. Because when she cry, she gonna turn everything upside down. She'll come up and tell everybody, I ain't even got to have no wedding as long as I got him. Y'all can go somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, church, the young man, me and the young man, we sat there and talked a little bit more. And he told me, it was a big bang and all this stuff. I said, big bang? Yeah, the big bang was let there be, and it was. That was the big bang. Hallelujah. The big bang was whatever God said. Hallelujah. That was the power of creation when he said, let there be light. And it was light. Hallelujah. The prophet of God said, what is vindication? Vindication is when it's spoken and then it comes. Then it materialize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's vindication. So we talked a little bit more. And I said, well, what started the big bang? See, if I kept going back far enough, he's going to have to give me a real answer. And he kept 5 billion years. I said, oh, stop. I said, don't talk about 5 billion years ago. You wasn't there. For all I know, you just making something up right now because you being challenged. He says, well, 5 billion years. I said, stop it. I ain't the smartest person in the world. Just stop it. So I say, just tell me what caused the Big Bang. And then he started using all these big words. I said, stop. He had a big old Charlie Brown head, too. Very, 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 very smart. And he started pulling out all these big words. And all. I said, man, please, we ain't got to do that. Stop. Just don't do that. Tell me what caused the Big Bang. And he started going into, you know, people that are intellectual, they love to try to pull out quotes and things Brother Branham said to make you feel small. You know, they love to see you doing something that they don't feel like line up with the message and they're ready to blast you. They don't even realize that the Bible says the accuser of the brother is the devil. So if you love to run to Brother Doug and tell, just doing this in church and just doing church, just doing that, just doing that, just realize you got a spirit on you. A bunch of tattletales. Nobody likes a tattletale. Nobody can trust a tattletale because if you tell on them, you'll tell on me. Tattletales. Brother so-and-so did this. Brother sister so-and-so did that. A bunch of tattletales. You know really what that is? That's jealousy. You watching people long enough to see their error or see what's going on in their life so you can bring it up and tell it all. That's really jealousy. They got something you want. And you know my new slogan for the year, hallelujah, and this one came, hallelujah, because I was in the midst of a trial, and one of my friends sent me a quote, hallelujah, not necessarily a quote from the scripture, but like a proverb, and it said, hallelujah, a thief does not come to an empty house. If the devil bother you, it's because you got something he want. Hallelujah. A thief don't come to an empty house. There's something in that house he wants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if the devil bothering you, you got something. Hallelujah. You know, there's a story of a young man who everybody prayed for to be a preacher. And then he became a preacher. Then the people started complaining. He preached too long. He preached too hard. Everybody had something to say. And then he went to his pastor. He's like, Pastor, you know, all these same people who prayed for me to be a preacher, now they done turned against me. And the pastor told him, say, hey, come here. Look out this window. Hallelujah. And he said, look out the window. It was a pea. He said, what do you see? A pecan tree and an oak tree. He said, what do you see? Hallelujah. At the oak tree. He said, nothing. He said, what do you see at the pecan tree? He said, there's sticks. There's bats. There's shoes. There's rocks. He said, you know why? Because that pecan tree got something everybody want. Ain't nothing on that oak tree. Hallelujah. So if it's something you want, you throw at it. So you keep that in mind. When people are throwing at you, it's because you got something they want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why they're saying hallelujah. They're talking all this talk about us and all these things about the message and how we live and all these things because they see a life that they really want, but they don't have the courage to live it. See, this word is making us ready for a body change. I ain't gonna be too much longer. I'm about to close. Hallelujah. But you know, church, he began to use all these big words and all this stuff, and he's trying to explain the Big Bang Theory. And I say, look. Just quit going through circles. Tell me what caused the Big Bang. He says, well, it was hydrogen, oxygen, a star, and a planet. And that caused the Big Bang. I ain't the smartest man in the world. But there was a bottle of water on the table. You know, the prophet of God said, give a cow enough rope and it'll hang itself. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to be patient. If God puts you in a battle, just be still. And wait on him to give you the words to say. Don't get afraid. Don't back up. Just wait on God to speak for you. Hallelujah. So, you know, by then, we had an audience. We had an audience of those who were on my side. And we had an audience of those who was waiting for him to disprove it so they can go run wild. You know there's people in church like that? They're waiting on something to happen so I can say, I told you Brother Doug wasn't right. They're waiting on that. You know what the prophet called that? He called them the lukewarm believer. They hang around just enough to say, I told you so. But he said, hydrogen and oxygen, a star and a planet. So some water on the table, I say, this your water? He says, yes. So I said, take the top off. He took the top off, and I started pouring it out. Yeah. I say, ain't nothing happening. He says, what do you mean? I said, you told me that the Big Bang was caused by hydrogen and oxygen, a star, and a planet. And the last time I checked, this is hydrogen and oxygen. H2O. And you know my crew that was standing behind me, they said, ooh. I said, this is hydrogen and oxygen. He says, yes. I said, okay. I just pulled out your hydrogen, oxygen. I said, the sun is the greatest star, and we're on a planet, and ain't nothing happened. So I say your theory is no more than a lie, because all three elements existed again together and nothing happened. So what you believe is no more than just a lie. Hallelujah. What I believe is truth, that there is a God. And you know what my crew say? My crew say, ah, you got him. Hallelujah. Church, we got something real. You don't have to be afraid to live this truth. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, the prophet of God, he began to say, he said, hallelujah. He said, the first thing comes when he starts descending from heaven, there is a shout, which is a message. Church, descending means he's on the way. Hallelujah. And you know, people say, well, I'm still trying to find the Lord. That's a lie. God ain't missing. God ain't missing. I'm still waiting on him. No, God waiting on you. Hallelujah. Church, this everything that's taking place, everything that's happening is making us ready, hallelujah, to get out of here. And you know, that same young man, I asked him a question before I close. I asked him a question. I said, hey, better yet, you tell me, why is an atheist at a Christian convention? I'll tell you why. Because that girl that came in and got me was his girlfriend. She was a backslidden message believer. And now she's trying to come back, but now she got baggage that don't believe. Hallelujah. Never leave the truth looking for happiness. You're going to get something that's going to make you miserable. So now she's trying to come back. Hallelujah. But then she got this unbeliever. Y'all should see every point he was making. She was like, that's rubbish. That's just rubbish. She was arguing with him more than I was. Hallelujah. But you know, church, from there, hallelujah, from there I asked him, I said, you tell me, why is an atheist at a Christian convention? He says, I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you why. Because God is going to introduce himself to you. And then I shook his hand and I left. I said, have a good day. You know why I said that? Because I was preaching that night. Hallelujah. I was preaching that night. Hallelujah. And I was going to channel everything I had directly at him. Hallelujah. Church, that's our commission, to go after the lost souls. Hallelujah. If you're a believer, well, I'm going to spend 45 minutes preaching to you when there's a lost soul sitting there in front of me that don't believe. Hallelujah. I'm going to go after that soul. So you know what? Hallelujah. I start preaching. Amen. I preached a message. Open doors and issues. Hallelujah. And I started preaching. And the power of God started moving, church. And his girlfriend. Hallelujah. The power of God started flowing. She said, they start shouting on this side. They start shouting on that side. The whole church started shouting. What was happening? God was making himself visible. And God started moving in the midst of an atheist. Hallelujah. He started moving on that side. He started moving on that side. He started moving on that side. Then they started coming to the altar and praying. Hallelujah. And he was sitting there like. And then the next thing you know, that atheist got up and came in the prayer line. Hallelujah. She is made ready. He came and got in the prayer line. He said, I say, are you ready for this? And he's never had any experience with God. I say, are you ready for this? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready for God to do something? He says, a little. If all you want is a little, that's all you're going to get. But if you want a gusher, God will give you a gusher. Hallelujah. If you want baptismal after baptismal, baptismal after baptismal, baptismal after baptismal, God will give it to you. The more you yearn, the more you earn, the more you groan, the more you seek his face, God will give it to you. So, church, I pray for him. Hallelujah. He didn't shout. He didn't jump. He didn't dance. He didn't anything. But after we prayed, his eyes would just be. And then he pulled his hand out. And he shook my hand. And he said, thank you. You know what God did? God shattered his beliefs. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because he made him get up in the... He don't like his kingdom being torn down. Hallelujah. Amen. He don't like it when you expose his power. His power. The only power he got is perversion. Hallelujah. The only power the devil got in here tonight is what you surrender to him. And that young man who say he didn't believe in God got in prayer, got in a prayer line that that God may be prayed over him. Whew. It wasn't me. It was God showing himself. Church, God is making us ready to meet him. Hallelujah. You know, from every area of your life, you have to believe that God is in control. Hallelujah. God is in control of everything. And I know that's a hard statement when you don't see nothing with your eyes. But you got to keep believing. You got to keep believing that one day it's going to break. Hallelujah. One moment, 1 minute, 1 second, it's going to break. Hallelujah. It may be tonight. Tonight may be your breakthrough. God may have made you ready tonight to hear this message so you can overcome tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight may be your night. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, too often we come to church and we don't expect nothing. We come here as a good gathering and we leave with the same old problems, with the same old trials. What did you come for? I come to see the Lord. I come to hear from him. I come that he may speak over my soul. Lord, I need deliverance. Lord, I need a breakthrough. Hallelujah. God is real. We don't serve some storybook God. We serve a right now God. He's able to move in your life tonight. He's able to heal your body tonight. He's able to save your family tonight. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Hounds of hell, make way for the Holy Ghost. He has made us ready to receive him. Why don't you receive him tonight? Why don't you receive him tonight? Receive him tonight, church. Hallelujah. The conditions of this world is making us ready to meet him. Hallelujah. Everything is happening is making us ready to meet the Lord. But what has to happen? You got to get sick of the conditions. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to tell you one more testimony and I'm going to close. Hallelujah. You know, it's easy for us to get in a place where we start complaining about what we're going through. And you know, church, I try not to complain. I try to say, Lord, I know you got it. I may be struggling. Hallelujah. It may be hard. I may be crying. But I'm not going to say, Lord, you can't do it. I say, Lord, I need you to move. Hallelujah. Lord, I know you can move. Lord, I know you can do it tonight. Lord, just show me your program. Show me your will. Show me what I got to do. Make me ready. Don't never confess that it's over until God tell you it's over. One day this is last year, I was traveling to Ohio. You know, I had problems. You know, being a full-time evangelist, sometimes you wonder, you know, how the bills going to get paid or whatever the case is. And, you know, I was like, Lord, I need this. My truck broke down, blah, 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 all the stuff going on. I'm like, Lord, I just need a blessing. And while I was sitting there, a scripture came. Let me tell you something. When you're going through something and you're talking about your trials, and a scripture comes, that is your deliverance. Don't let that word, hallelujah, fly in the car. Grab it, put it in your seatbelt, and strap it in. Or if you walking or whatever you're doing, grab it, put it in your pocket, and keep going. If you're in a grocery store, put it in the buggy. Do not let it get away. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. If you're in, you're going through something, and you're thinking about your problems, and a scripture comes, the devil did not put that in your mind. He would never put a scripture in your mind when you're talking about your problems. That's God bringing a way of deliverance. Grab it. Put it away. Too many times we let it go. Hallelujah. Grab it and put it away. And you know, I was thinking about my finances, and then, hallelujah, scripture came. Give and it shall be given unto you. Now that seems totally against what I need. I'm praying I need, and God tell me to give. He said a scripture saying give. And I was like, man. Phew. So I called my wife. I said, honey, you know what? I was thinking about our finances, and a scripture came. She said, what was it? I said, give, and it shall be given unto you. She said, amen. All you got to do now is find somebody to give to. When a wife and a husband get on the same accord, the devil is done. But you know what we do sometimes? Don't get nervous. I'm about to close. You know what we do sometimes? God tell us to do something, and we're like, Lord, let me run that by my spouse. Because you know they're going to say no. So what you do is you're going to say, well, honey, you know, the Lord telling me to give so-and-so to the ministry or, you know, this and that. She said, well, you know, we got this bill to pay, and the kid needs shoes and this and that. You say, okay, honey, don't worry about it. I ain't going to do it. Then you go back to God and say, well, Lord, I told you. She ain't want me to do it. And you use her for a crutch because you ain't really want to do it. That's what we do. We use our spouses for a way out. Be obedient to God. Hallelujah. So you know what I did? Hallelujah. I tried to think of who I can get some money to. So you know, I said when I got back home, I went and, you know, put what I had together, and I took $100. I said, I know I can give it to Mama. Mama can always use some more money. I ain't getting no amen. Y'all know y'all got grown children, right? They got good jobs. So I said, yeah, I'm going to give Mama $100. And I know some of y'all thinking, $100? That ain't no money. Live in my world. Live in my world. That $100 is something precious. Hallelujah. Because George Washington, he be all over the world. But Ben Frank gets stuck in pockets. He gets stuck in darkness. He hardly never gets out to see the world. Even in the offering pan, he never sees the offering pan. But George and Abe, they all over the place. Just in case y'all don't know, Benjamin Franklin's on a $100 bill. George Washington's on a dollar bill. Lincoln is on a $5. Jackson's on the 20. Grant's on the 50. I know my money now. Hallelujah. Y'all should see the look on some of y'all faces. Is it okay to laugh in church? Like you're having a seizure or something. It's okay. It's okay. We can enjoy Jesus. It's all right to be happy about your salvation. It's all right to feel joy when the word is coming forth. You know, this message didn't come to make us a bunch of robots. So I went over to the house. Hallelujah. I had the money in my pocket. I walked through the door. My dad was in there cooking breakfast. You know, I couldn't leave him out the blessing. So I said, hey, here goes something for you. And he was like, what this for? I said, well, nothing. Just take it. He's like, all right, praise him. Y'all know how we do? God, you got a need, and God put it on somebody's heart to bless you. Hallelujah. And you get all super spiritual. No, 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 brother, sister, I'm good, I'm good. No, you need it. False humility. God sent that there to answer your prayer. Hallelujah. And you rejecting the prayer. You rejecting the answer to the prayer. Whew. Try that with me. But anyway, I went in the room. She's back there. So I said, "Well, Mama," she said, "she's back there in the bed." So I said, give me the breakfast. I'm going to take her to breakfast. Now I got the food and the money. Well, I'm the best child in the world. So I go back in her room, Brother Joel. I give her the food. And she's like, "Oh, thank you, son. I ain't cooked nothing." She's like, "Oh, thank you, son. You just care about me and all this stuff. I ain't did nothing. I'm just getting all the praise right there for the food." And then I put the money in her hand. I said, "Oh, you know, God put it on my heart to give you some." He goes, she just raised her hands. And she started giving God praise. She's like, "Lord, you know I've been praying about this. I needed just a little bit more money to pay a bill. And Father, you're just so good. You're so faithful." Church, she said, "Thank you, son," one time. She just began to give God praise. I was like, am I even in the room? Don't do something to look for credit. If you do it out of the abundance of your heart. If you do something in this church, don't do it so somebody can exalt you. Let God exalt you. Don't do something so your name can be called over the pulpit. That means you didn't do it from your heart. So I'm standing there, she just giving God praise. And, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, you're so good. And you know, oh, Lord, I just give you praise. And you just always answer prayer." You know, she's just thanking the Lord. I got to the place where I left out the room. Because it's between her and God. But then when I left, God began to show me what really took place. He said, "You know what? When you brought that money to her, it was an answer to prayer. And you know what? In that moment, you wasn't her son. In that moment, you were Jehovah Jireh." Oh, hallelujah. Church, the prophet of God said, we are his attributes. Hallelujah. And when you provide for somebody's needs, that's the attribute of Jehovah Jireh. When you pray over the sick, that's the attribute of Jehovah Rapha. We are his attributes. Hallelujah. And I was like, "Thank you, Lord." But you know, then I went someplace to preach. I went over to Canada to preach. And you know, after I finished preaching, I was doing some weekend services. And after I finished, everybody all right. I'm about to close. And you know, hallelujah. After I finished preaching, a sister walked up to me and she gave me a check. It was $200. I was like, "Jesus is a mighty God. Jehovah is a mighty God." You know, I begin to give God praise. Hallelujah, because the blessing was right on time. Hallelujah. But you know, that sister, what she gave me was really what God told her to give me. She's been disobedient. And she thought just that little release. "Well, Lord, I know you want me to give him this, but I'm going to give him this." And when she went home, you know, we give God our lack. And we think it's enough. And God, when you get home, God wear you out because you was disobedient. And he tells you what kind of servant you was. Tell you was disobedient. Tell you didn't listen and so forth. You a wicked, unprofitable servant. And God began to give her the riot act. And you think about it. She gave me $200. And God said, I told you to give her more than that. And she thought, just releasing her little, you know, her finite mind, that, you know, I'm just gonna do this right here and it's gonna be alright. No, God's like a nagging wife. And he ain't gonna stop until you do what he say. Sister, don't get offended. If you ain't a nagging wife, I ain't talking to you. But church, she said she went home and God began to tell us that you were disobedient. And she tried to make herself busy and everything. God got in her ear again. "You're disobedient. I told you what to do. You're disobedient." Every time she turned around, all she heard was, "You're disobedient. You're disobedient." To the next day she woke up, she heard the same voice. "You're disobedient." And I was there for 3 days. So the last day she had enough. She called the pastor and said, "Pastor," I said, "what you doing?" He said, "Well, me and Brother Diggs about to go to a fellowship dinner." She said, "Brother Diggs still with you?" She said, "Yes." She said, "I'm coming too." So she comes over there. Reason why I know this testimony, because she told it to me. Hallelujah. So she comes over there and she says, we sit down eating and everything. You know, just having a good fellowship. I don't know what she's going through. She's being tormented because she disobeyed God. The worst kind of feeling to have is to know that you disobeyed God. And then come to church like it ain't nothing wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. It don't even feel right. Because you know you ain't being obedient. It's like a soul sitting in the midst of this atmosphere. And you know you ain't converted. And you know God's, hallelujah, hand is not on you. And you sitting in here like you're a part of the body. If your life ain't right, tonight's the night. And you know, church, when it was time for me to leave, let me close my stuff up. When it was time for me to leave, she said, Pastor, I need to follow you and Brother Diggs outside. I need to tell you something. And she began to tell the story. That when she gave me what she gave me, she knew she was being disobedient. She thought she was going to get some rest. And she didn't get any rest because God kept reminding her that she was disobedient. I can feel it. Yeah, I can feel it. We've been in that place. Some of us are in that place right now. Hallelujah. I ain't so much talking about your pocketbook. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about whatever God told you to do. And let's put it in the right context. If God told you to do it, it ain't gonna cause confusion. Hallelujah. It ain't gonna make people leave the church. It ain't gonna start a bunch of whispering. If God told you to do it, it's gonna be a blessing for everybody. Hallelujah. Because you know, sometimes people like to do stuff and say, the Lord told me to do this and mess up everything. So she comes outside and she says, Brother Diggs, you know, the Lord told me to give you a certain amount of money and I was disobedient and this and that. And then, you know, and now I want to be obedient. But one thing I want you to realize about this testimony. This lady didn't even speak good English. So she was speaking to me through an interpreter, the pastor. God can bless you even if you don't know their language. Hallelujah. And she, both of them sitting there talking. I'm sitting there like, I don't know what's going on. So then he interprets everything to me. And then she gives me another check. It ain't too late for you to be redeemed. If God has put it on your heart, hallelujah, now it's time for you to give God what he told you to give him. Hallelujah. Some of you, it may be your time, hallelujah. Some of you, it may be more prayer. Some of you, it may be more worship. Some of you, it may be, hallelujah, just spending and getting in his presence, hallelujah. Stop being so lazy, hallelujah. Give God what he's asking for. So she gives me another check. And this check was for another $800. And y'all remember I shouted the first time? This time I think I was doing the moonwalk. Hallelujah. I was really giving God praise. Because God, hallelujah, church, he has everything under control. And then the Lord began to show me, I had that blessing already waiting on you. You just had to do your part. And you know what my part was? My part was the 100 I had to give to my mama. Because 100 is a tenth of 1,000. Hallelujah. So God already had 1,000 waiting on me, but the only way for me to get it is to pay tithes on it without seeing it. Woo! Hallelujah! Church, God got things waiting on you that you can't even see. He just wants you to believe. Come on, musicians, I'm closing. Hallelujah. God got things already in your path. He just wants you to be obedient. Church, this is how we make ourselves ready. By being obedient to God. Hallelujah. Church, if he tell you to do anything, it's for your good. Hallelujah. It's for the edifying of the body. Hallelujah. Amen. Because when that time comes for you to walk down the aisle, it's going to be without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. How many brides you seen come down the aisle with a dirty dress? I don't know. I ain't been to a whole lot of weddings, but everyone I've been to, she's been pretty clean. Hallelujah. Spotless. Amen. Walking down that aisle. And that's the way it's going to be, church. God is doing things that's producing a spotless bride. Because the key to that spotless bride, because the Bible says God is going to present us to himself. Hallelujah. That's what he's doing, church. God is presenting a spotless bride to himself. And his word is making us ready. His word is washing and cleansing us. Hallelujah. Church, that's why you shouldn't stay home. Every time these doors open, you should be here. Hallelujah. Because the word is perfecting you. Amen. The more words you hear, the more perfect you become. Amen. Not in knowledge, in life. Hallelujah. So church, let's be. Amen. Let's get in this atmosphere that we are about to leave here. We are about to leave here. Everything is winding up. Everything is getting into place. And you know what? This is what I want the church to do. Because in my travels, one thing I'm realizing, Brother Doug, that there are too many people in church who do not have any joy. There are too many people in church who are coming out of religious duty and they are miserable. You need to ignite a fire. You need to get in your prayer closet and meet him. Hallelujah. Because there's nothing about God that sets me down. Hallelujah. It sets me free. I love being in the midst of saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, she is made ready. And let's make it real clear. It ain't nothing you're doing. It's the Holy Ghost in you. Hallelujah. It's the grace of God. It's not your own human ability. It's the grace of God doing it. It's the grace of God making us ready. Hallelujah. Because me, personally, I don't know any of you. I don't know what you need. But God will inspire the ministry to preach to your situation. Which causes you, every time you hear the word, hallelujah, to get more and more in line. To get more and more in shape. To get more and more ready. Hallelujah. So when you put that dress on, all you got to do is turn around and say, would you please zip me up? Hallelujah. And you know, this dress, it ain't going to be no struggle to put on. It's going to fit like a charm. You ain't going to have to be. Ain't going to be none of that. All he's going to do is put his hand on the zipper. It's going to go straight up. Hallelujah. It ain't going to pinch your skin. It ain't going to do none of that. It's going to go straight up. That's what I want you to realize. This message is a perfect fit for the bride of Christ. Perfect fit. Amen. How many believe it? How many are going to be made ready? Hallelujah. How many are waiting to meet him in the air? Hallelujah, church. Let's get ready, because it's going to happen faster than what we think. Now it's time to get in desperation. For whatever's loose in your life, ask God to tighten it up. Hallelujah, because we're not going to go in there as a bunch of stragglers. We're going to go in as a mighty, victorious army of the Lord. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we pray there was something said to help your people. And Lord God, we may have said some things that were funny, Lord, some things that seemed to be comical, but Lord, don't let the enemy bring a uncertain sound. Because Lord, your word is making us ready, Lord. Even we should be to the place to say, Lord, I'm ready now. Come, Lord Jesus. And Father, whatever has to be done in our lives to make us ready, we surrender. We surrender to the move of the Holy Spirit this night. And Lord, preventer, there's some of us in here tonight that are in desperation. And we need a move of God. Lord, we know you don't have to do it. But if you would be so kind, Lord. If you would be so merciful, Lord. To look down on our situations, Lord. To look down on our needs, Lord. Lord, and to hear our cry. And to remember, Lord, in your word, you said, I know the thoughts that I have concerning you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To bring us to an expected end. Lord, you said that. Lord, you said that when it comes to our life, there should be thoughts of peace. And Lord, we ask, Father, you bring peace in our lives right now. Lord God, that you move in a way, Lord, that only you can.
Father God, and help us, Lord, for our unbelief. Help us, Lord, for doubting you, Lord. And Lord God, we pray you just continue to prove yourself over and over again, because you're such a great and righteous God. Lord, we love you and we thank you with an unfailing word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let your say amen. Dog, amen.